Now Marianne's cruising down the byways of Juarez.
2 years ago, Ciudad Juarez was known as the murder capital of the world. Drive down the street with a reporter here, and every few blocks, he'll point to where someone was killed or beheaded or dismembered or hung from a bridge. But all along, reporters have found ways to cover at least part of the story. And that's partly because the drug cartels that were warring here are not as violent as the Zetas, the group now terrorizing Veracruz and Tamaulipas. And because this is a town that thrives on news. Thousands of newspapers are printed here every day, from the popular El PM, featuring gory photos of murder victims, plus a page or two of traditional porn, to newspapers with serious investigative units. There's broadcast and internet stations, and most fascinating, sites like El Blog del Narco, which consists partly of accounts of violence posted and read by rival gang members themselves. Whoever made this video snagged photos of the dead from Juarez news sites and used them to celebrate their accomplishments, which may or may not be true.
In Juarez, you cannot report the whole truth because no one has it and because it's too dangerous.
That's Jorge Luis, publisher of the blog La Polaca. Back in 2008, he was among several journalists to receive a slew of serious threats. And when one of them was murdered, Luis fled. Now he publishes from El Paso, Texas. And despite his claim you can't report the truth in Juarez, he was outraged when the city's biggest newspaper, El Diario de Juarez, aimed this headline at the drug cartels. What is it that you want from us?
It is like a police officer saying to a criminal, "Hey, what do you want me to do? Shall I go over there or over here?" It was an embarrassment, and it was applauded around the world.
The world applauded because the paper was printing the truth. It could not cover the news in a city where cartels had more power than the government.
For me, it was more a way to say, listen, people, you don't count anymore.
El Diario reporter Sandra Rodriguez.
Because you are unable to stop this. So we are talking now to the people that is really controlling their life in Juarez.
Rodriguez says after her colleague at the paper was killed,
we're more angry than scared. Killing of Armando produced the opposite reaction of silence.
As a reporter with roots in the state, she says she felt more motivated than ever.
I didn't want any foreign reporter to tell me the story of my city.
El Diario did make compromises. The paper sometimes withheld names or waited to publish risky stories. But Rodriguez has since used transparency laws and shoe leather to cover things like how many murder victims were armed when they were killed.
It was like 2%, like nobody.
Today, she heads downtown to ask some questions at a bakery. Its name has come up in a database she's created to track about 100 young women who've disappeared since 2008. This is a new chapter in an old story in Juarez.
I love this place.
So far, Rodriguez only has data from 10 cases, but her interviews with families are already turning up patterns police seem to have missed.
They tell you like, oh, she was going downtown, she was going downtown, she was going downtown, in this bakery, in this shoe store, etc.
Her reporting put her on the same lonely bus the missing girls took downtown. Now she'll check out the bakery where some applied for jobs. A sign on the door solicits active and presentable 18 to 22-year-olds. Rodriguez says sometimes she'll picture her body lying dead in the places she visits.
As reporters, we all in Juarez, we have talked like, how would you like your funeral?
A few blocks away, a 25-year-old reporter named Luis Chaparro watches a girl do somersaults in a bare-bones boxing gym. She's training for the masked, choreographed fights Mexicans call lucha libre.
What I'm trying to do is know why she decided to do lucha libre in a place where there's a lot of prostitution. And most of the women here are working in bars, are bartenders, or are as prostitutes.
The tattoo on Chaparro's arm is from a book called 80 Worlds in a Day. He says it reminds him to look for the unexpected.
In these ugly corners in Ciudad Juarez where there are people really devastated by life, you can see a lot of joy in their eyes, and that's what my tattoo reminds me of.
But Chaparro covers much more than lifestyle. Last year, he says he too was threatened after publishing names of corrupt police. He found himself on the floor, hands and feet tied, with a gun pressed to his head.
That's when the situation here at this border is ugly, you know, when you blame the authorities.
So do you avoid doing that?
Yes, I avoid to directly accuse the authorities.
Last week, he reported a local gang is teaming up with the Zetas, the sadists terrorizing other states. Chaparro's source was a gang leader.
I think there's ways to get close to dangerous people. If you always talk with the truth, I prefer to be in the streets and to go out with a drug dealer who I can trust. Or
the phrase, a drug dealer I can trust, is interesting given the context.
Yeah. Yes, it's kind of weird.
In the old days, reporters say drug cartels sometimes handed them cash, saying, please refrain from talking about us. Government officials, too. Now, at least in Juarez, they say bribes have been replaced by threats. But money still plays an editorial role. Most media outlets depend on income from government-placed ads.
Are there limits to what you're allowed to say in your paper?
Well, unfortunately, I think that the money that the government spends in media provokes censorship.
Sandra Rodriguez is both driven to succeed and pessimistic about her chances, given Mexico's flawed media policy and what seems to her just a temporary lull in the violence in Juarez.
All the elements that fuel the violence, the poverty, the impunity, the corruption, I mean, the elements are still there. We haven't solved any of the problems that were fueling our violence.